If you want to pump your body and expand your mind, there's only one place to go. Mind Pump. Mind Pump. With your hosts, Sal DiStefano, Adam Schaefer, and Justin Andrews.
I need you guys to do something for me.
No, ladies and gentlemen.
Ladies and gentlemen. Ladies and gentlemen.
You got to take me out first.
Do me a favor. I want look at my face real quick. Just take a look. Take a gander.
You know what? Your skin looks really smooth.
Oh,
you notice my skin?
I do.
See, Justin? Yeah. Why don't you notice my skin?
What'd you do?
You just look like you're glowing.
It looks different, right?
You masturbated on your face.
On my own face.
You've been using that as a cream?
I always wonder what that was like. No, it's...
You had a facial, I can tell.
No facial. No.
I can tell you where...
No.
You did one of those mud masks. You did a mask.
I didn't do a mud mask. I'm not into that weird stuff.
Do tell.
No.
You did a death mask.
The suspense is killing Justin.
People have been commenting on my skin, and I know why. I know what... I'm like, what am I doing differently? You know what it is? I've been drinking those freaking vegetable juices in the morning. Yeah. I've been having every once in a while, I have like a spinach... it's got spinach, cucumber, parsley,
where you get kale, some
Whole Foods.
Oh, okay.
And I'll drink that, and then my skin is just so nice. Look at that; it's supple. Touch my hand, Justin.
How's that feel?
Does that feel supple?
Doesn't that feel nice?
You have hairy fingers, dude. I told you about that.
I have hairy.
I don't like you. Shave them.
What's wrong with my fingers being hairy?
You do have hair
too.
Your hairy is weird. It's like weird spots.
You better not.
What are you talking about? First of all, you shave everything, so it doesn't matter.
No, I don't. I'm not. I manscape. I trim, bro.
You trim your hand.
Bro, you have no arm.
No, I don't.
All right, you do on that arm.
So this one has tattoos. You can't see it, you knucklehead.
Fine.
So I have hairy. You know what?
No, you don't have chest hair, but you have nipple hair.
It's
you know
not
what I'm saying?
Really just nipple hair.
You don't have much on your arms, but you have a ton on your knuckles.
It's not exactly nipple. Luckily, I have an Instagram. People can see my pictures. It's just I don't have a lot of hair on my chest. It's lower chest hair.
It's like mostly
it's
nipples.
Like rings.
It's like mostly nipples.
Hairy rings.
I trimmed them.
And then you have this bare ass, but then a hairy ass crack.
Wow.
How did you know? Oh, because I mooned you.
You did moon me.
I did moon you.
You gave it
my
right
ass
up.
Is not completely smooth. The cheeks have some
it's
hair.
It's like the landing strip of ass.
You know, it's like a gorilla.
It looks like
you ever look at a gorilla?
It looks like your ass swallowed Chewbacca. That's what it looks like.
I have yet to see. No, I have seen your ass. What am I talking about? I have seen your ass. You wax everything, though. It doesn't count.
I don't wax. I've never waxed in my life before.
We just feel like he does.
I don't know.
Here's the thing.
You're so clean.
I'd rather have a hairy ass than a girl ass. And I don't mean you have a girl ass because there's no hair on it. It's shaped like a girl's ass. When you the listeners need
it's
to know.
It's voluptuous.
This is important
just
information.
Say it's voluptuous.
It's kind of a big, it's kind of a girl's
meaty
big butt. Yeah.
like you should be wearing juicy pants.
Yeah.
Like, you know, those ones with the sweat.
Yeah. Some Lululemons.
Sweatpants with the juicy on the butt.
Hey,
that's a lot of ham.
Maybe I'll start that trend. Yeah. You see all these shreds dudes.
What happened to that juicy like phase? All these girls used to have that on their butt.
Juicy.
Like, stop looking at it. I'm reading. Slow down.
We should make some pants and call them moist.
Moist. Yeah. Put it right in the front.
Yeah. Moist.
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 Oh, wow.
Apparently that word's fallen out of favor.
I don't know why.
When
people
I was a
don't
kid,
like it.
When I was a kid, moist was a good word. Like, hey,
it's a little bit moist outside.
Yeah. How's your meat? Oh, it's moist. Oh, that's nice. How's that cake? Yeah. Oh, it's moist.
I got a little moist.
Yeah. And everybody gets grossed out over the word moist.
Right.
I'm bringing it back. Fuck that shit.
Who doesn't like moist brownies?
I haven't thought of that. That's true. I can't remember the last time I heard moist before right now.
Well, it's fallen out of favor, and then people think it's a gross word.
Yeah,
it's not
like,
a gross word.
No, cunt is a gross word.
That's not a gross word. It's a vulgar word.
Okay,
but if you're from England, it's not. If you're from England, it's like, my buddy's English. Every other word is cunt. Everything
like
he says.
Like a term of endearment?
Oh, everything. He calls me cunty. Hey, what's up, my cunty? It's like this. It's like not a big deal. But in America, you say cunt. It's like, everybody. Like right now, people are freaking out. He just said cunt. Yes,
they're turning
it.
Down. They're turning it down.
Yeah, well, it's like the cigarettes. When me and my brother were there, like this guy was coming up from behind me and was like, bum a fag?
Oh, that's what they call cigarettes?
I was like, bum a fag? I was like, what'd you say?
Justin's like, you just call me a bum? Don't call me a bum.
How dare you? I'm a hard worker.
Yeah, no, the slangs are definitely different in the different countries. Different country slang. So I have...
I love aluminium.
Aluminium?
Favorite, yeah.
Oh, aluminum.
Yep.
Yeah, no. It's aluminium.
Sounds better. Aluminium.
Aluminium sounds like... That what is Wolverine's bones made out of?
Adamantium. Where's your nerd?
So our website's kind of shitty. I think we should talk about this.
Whoa!
I think people have been on our website.
It's okay.
No, we're going to fix it.
Yeah.
We're going to fix
that's
it.
That's just why, because we're going to fix it's it. Gonna it's going to be awesome.
It's going to be gangster.
Yeah.
In a good way, because it's gangster in a bad way. Because we've had a couple people go on there.
Get ready for
to
the
try
awesome.
To buy our programs.
Yeah.
And what happened, Adam?
You know, it's just...
They couldn't find it.
Yeah, they couldn't find it. And, well, Doug fixed the problem with the first one, so it's already a little bit better than what it was.
Because people need to know...
But it's about to be awesome.
Mindpumpradio.com, the programs are still available, and we have not raised the price. We still kept them at the sale price, the bundle.
Not only that, you still get access to the forum if you get the bundle, which that's going away.
Dude, that forum is on fire.
Yeah. Well, it's going away, too. So, I mean, as far as it being free...
We're
going
to charge for stuff like that eventually.
Yeah, no, you have to, for sure.
But for the OGs that are on there... They get hooked up. We got a couple OGs coming in later today.
Oh, we do.
Yeah, that'll be nice.
That'll be interesting.
Come hang out with us a little bit.
Some guests.
So we should talk about fitness.
Fitness. Really? That's fitness. Do we have anything else we didn't cover already?
We should talk about fitness. Dick in your mouth.
Fitness. Fitness in your eyes, son.
You know what I was thinking about the other day, working out.
What?
A subject that a lot of people don't talk about enough, and that's how you can change the rep. Speed, that variable of rep speed and how
tempo.
That can you know how that can
that's
how,
one of my favorite things to mess with.
Really?
Yep.
So now we're going to talk about jazzercise.
Yeah.
Right?
No.
And one and two and three.
Well, tell me
four,
about your
five,
tempo,
five,
Adam.
Well, I actually it's one of those things. It's kind of like one of those forgotten tools. I feel like, you know, people do a lot of other crazy stuff before they do something as simply as slowing down. And to be honest with you, very very rarely does everyone thinks they're training hypertrophy, but very few people are, as far as if you were to break it down from a tempo perspective, right? Maybe from a repetition, everyone thinks because they're doing
8 to 12.
Yeah. Eight to 12 reps, they're falling in that hypertrophy phase. But then when you actually look at their tempo, it's closer to like a power phase where they're dropping it down, going right back up.
Well, that's the natural tendency like everybody seems to have, because like any kind of load is stressful, right? And so it's stressful. The body's immediate reaction is, let's get this over with.
Yeah.
Let's get this off of you in the most efficient, fast way possible. Whereas, you know, a lot of these, like if you can manipulate the tempo enough, you're going to get a lot more benefit in a different way.
Oh, I'm so glad you brought this up. I had no idea you were going to talk about this. And this was.
You liar. We talked about it before we turned the mics off.
No, you mentioned it.
I'm just kidding.
So glad this was so random.
Yeah, right. So glad.
We hella prep before every show. What are you talking about?
No. So
it's like one, two, three, go.
I just feel like a lot of people don't understand, too, that there's more benefits when it comes to building muscle, okay, from the eccentric phase of the exercise. And when you're talking about training in a hypertrophy phase, it should be about a four second, you know, negative,
which is long,
very long.
People like it's 1,001, 1,002, 1,003, 1,004. Who the fuck lowers
four,
that slow?
One,
very few.
Two,
yeah.
One,
right?
Yeah, it's very very slow. And like I said, there is more benefit happening in that eccentric phase, especially when you follow a protocol like that when you're doing hypertrophy training. Than there is for you doing like in a power phase. You're training; it's different the way you're hitting the body. So I rarely ever see anybody truly train with repetitions like that. And I think it's such an important
factor. Well, I think the key with tempo is to use it as a variable to play with it, because fast tempo has its benefits, slow tempo has its benefits.
Mm-hmm.
A super slow tempo has benefits also.
Yep.
You know, back in the I believe this was during World War II. There were you couldn't get iron. Like if you wanted to buy dumbbells and barbells and stuff, iron was hard to come by because they had to ration it for, you know, the big war machine to fight overseas. And so a lot of gyms had weights that would go up to like 20 pounds. Like they couldn't get big weights because you couldn't come by iron.
Right.
So bodybuilders of the day and strongmen of the day developed what's called super slow motion training. I don't know if you guys ever heard of this.
I've actually trained like this before.
You have?
Yeah.
So
literally like a 10, 15 second negative. It's just
or even
slow,
longer.
Yeah. You really do one, maybe two reps. That's
yeah,
all you
and
do.
You're taking anywhere between 15 to 30 seconds.
Yeah.
You know, for the concentric and the eccentric. So if I'm taking let's say I'm doing a bench press and I have, I don't know, however much weight on it, it takes 30 seconds to bring it all the way up to the top and then 30 seconds to come all the way back down. It's grueling.
Right.
It does build a lot of endurance.
It's a lot longer time under tension. Let's just you know, put that out there, because the time under the tension, I mean, if you're talking about overall volume, if you do that on a slow rate and you're lifting like less load, but the tension is there a lot longer, you know, that's where the benefit is. So if you're working towards, you know, volume where I'm doing things at a regular pace, I'm going to have to lift a lot more reps to get all that time under tension.
Yeah. And the reason why I like this so much is because people, and you know me, and you guys are the same way. We love things that people forget to do.
Yep.
And the variables that people think about nowadays are changing the exercise, and that's it. You know, so, oh, I'm going to do a different exercise. You know, the tempo of your rep is a huge variable. Mm. If I do a bench press traditional versus a super slow motion bench press or an explosive bench press, that's almost three different exercises in just the way they affect the body.
And well, on some level, it's safer too, right? I mean, you're controlling that weight.
Uh-huh. That's a great point, because that's when I utilize it a lot too. So when I have a lot of clientele that are older, and we have lots of imbalances going on.
Like Doug's age.
Yeah, like those.
Yeah. He hates that,
like,
so
dinosaur.
Much. He hates that when I do that.
And you know, injury. I'm concerned about injury more so than I am getting maximizing our gains. I might tell that client, like, hey, instead of us, even though I know you could probably handle another 15, 20 pounds, we're just going to slow your repetition down. So right. I just want you to really focus on the negative. I want you to count, and then I make them do it, and then just slow the repetition down. That, I mean, that's another way to intensify the workout without increasing weight. You know,
right.
It's there not it always have to be weight. Not always has to be repetitions. Actually, tempo can be just as effective, and honestly, it's probably the most overlooked out of those three tools. So for most people, it'd probably be the most effective if you actually started to focus on that right now, because more than likely, if you're listening to this radio show and you're somebody who works out already consistently or have been for years, you probably mess with sets, you probably mess with reps and exercises, but how often do you manipulate tempo?
Right.
You know, and
right.
It should be just as much as those.
Right, and I'll give you an example. Like if I go to do pull-ups, and let's say if I just rep them out, I could do, I don't know, right now, probably around 20, right? 20-something. I could add weight around my waist, which is that's a great thing to do. That works. I do that all the time. Mm-hmm. Or I can say to myself, instead of adding weight, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to do some slow-ass reps. And I'm going to maybe be able to get 8
right.
slow ass reps.
What do those ass reps look like?
Rapes.
Ooh.
So, God. So I'm going to go really slow with my repetitions, and I might only get 8 of them. And the intensity's gone up tremendously. And I'm in within a lower rep range now without having to add weight around my waist. And this is a tool you can do with almost any exercise. And some exercises are better for this than others. For example, it's impossible to do really slow motion repetitions with Olympic lifts. Like, you can't do, you can't do a slow motion clean.
Please don't
clean
even try that.
Because you'll hurt yourself. Oh. But like a squat. Oh.
Well, I bet you CrossFit will try.
Well, it's hard, bro.
Yeah. And then there's also perceived, like trying to move the bar faster, even if you don't. Like if I'm lifting a really heavy weight and I'm doing, let's say, a set of three reps with a really heavy weight, I can try to come up as fast as I can in my squat, for example. I'm not going to move very fast because it's a heavy-ass weight. But just the fact that I'm trying to apply that speed to the bar, studies have shown over and over and over again, I will recruit more muscle fibers. I'll get better results as a result. So even if you just perceive that you're trying to move the bar faster, even if the bar is moving slow. So that's another way of paying attention. Really, it's about paying attention to these variables.
Well, it's very similar to what we just did recently with deadlifts, all of us together. You know, for all of us can deadlift 3 plates easily.
Right.
You know, but sometimes what we'll do is we'll go in there and, you know, today we're going to move 3 plates as fast as we can.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? We're going to rip it up, set it back down, rip it up, set it back down. And then other days we're going to grind it out. It's going to be more of a grinding type of lift. So those are, even though it's a less weight, it still can be just as effective because we're manipulating tempo. You don't always have to progress with weight or repetitions. That's just it. I feel like that's always the first place that somebody goes, like, oh, I did, 4 sets of, 215. Today I'm going to bump it to 225 or whatever. You know what I'm saying? It's always, unfortunately, our body isn't that efficient. You know what I'm saying? It's efficient, but we don't progress that way. You don't always get to add weight.
And I'd be bench, I'd be able to bench, 5,000 pounds by now.
Yeah.
It's not going to work.
No.
And the other thing, too, to keep in mind when you're adding, because there's so many variables, and if you're smart, you're taking advantage of things like tempo, is to be consistent with the variable that you're going to work with for at least a few weeks.
Yes, right. You can see what it does for you.
Yeah, see, because I think a lot of times another mistake that some people make, and a lot of people get away with it because they're super in touch with their body and they're very advanced.
Like, I'm one of the guys you're right. I was like this.
I was just gonna say, because Adam, for example, he knows his body so well and he's at such a high level that he can modify his variables every single workout and know what's happening to his body. But most people do better when they say, okay, this for the next 2-3 weeks, what I'm going to do is I'm going to move the bar very, very slow on this particular exercise, and I'm going to see how many reps I can do. So I'm going to count 10 reps down, 10 sets, 10 seconds up, 10 seconds down on my squats, and do it again for the second and the third week so you can see how your body's progressing with that particular variable.
Well, I'll be honest, even though I was somebody who did know all that and was in touch with his body, it wasn't until probably the last 4 or 5 years, especially when I got into the whole competing world where I started getting really into this, and then when we started doing maps and working in phases and where I would actually stick to that. Before that, I literally walked in the gym. Every time I walked in the gym, my mentality was I've never duplicated a workout in my life. Mm-hmm. I've duplicated tons of exercises, right, but I have
there's always a slight change of each.
There is something always different, whether I'm fucking with tempo or repetitions or weight.
I've had that with angles as well. So that's another variable that I've used as far as tempo and angles and intensity and loading more weight, obviously, but. Just those slight variances in angles will change the entire exercise as far as, using gravitational forces.
Oh, absolutely. That's why. So forever, I trained like that. I mean, for at least 10 plus years of my fitness career, this is how I train. Now, like what Sal is pointing out, the only bummer about that, yeah, I stayed in great shape. Yeah, I was always confusing the body and trying to get it to adapt to a new variable. But what happens was I didn't know what was more effective for my body. Where did I see the most gains? Did I get the most gains when I was training in power and strength? Did I get the most gains when I'm training in hypertrophy? Did I get the most gains when I was really concentrating on the eccentric phase and working on that negative? Or did I get more gains from explosive type lifts where I'm going 1-1-1, So I never did that before. Now I see what I've learned is that different body parts respond differently to each type of mentality.
You see, that's why one of the reasons why it's so important, because then you can really see what's working for you and you really see the progress because you're testing that same variable for 3 or 4 weeks in a row.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? Like I just recently, I've talked about this already, but I just recently for the last 3 weeks have done lightweight with my squats, gone all the way down to the bottom, but kept tension and held that bottom position for 3 to 5 seconds.
Yeah.
And I did that. If I just did that once, I'd get some benefit, but I wouldn't know what the I wouldn't really be able to attach it to progress specifically because I didn't do it more than once. But what I did is I did it more than once. I did it for 3 weeks in a row, and I saw clearly that at the bottom part of that rep, I got stronger and stronger and stronger. This week, I stopped that. I went back to my regular workouts, did actually some band work with my squats, and guess what? I'm fucking stronger. So I personally enjoy doing the same variable for a specific amount of time so I can see exactly what it's doing, and then I can apply it towards a regular workout and say, oh, here's the benefit. And it gives me a better idea in terms of when I should use some of those variables because I know exactly what they're doing with my body.
So I'll give you a very similar example of something I went through recently. We've been talking about you and I going back and forth with the gains on the quads, and I'm trying to catch you and build. So I've been spending so much time because I've seen in tracked in the past, I get the most gains in size in my legs when I'm training a lot of power. So I've been doing a lot of singles and doubles and triples for workouts for quite some time. Well, I've seen huge gains in my legs, but now I've noticed my knees are a little achier and bothering me a little bit. So then I'm like, okay, this is a perfect time for me now to roll out of this phase and then go into something else and start to manipulate something else. So now I've dropped down to 315. I'm still only doing 3 to 5 repetitions, but I'm doing exactly similar to what you're. I'm not pausing the moment, but I'm actually
exaggerating the form, right?
I'm decelerating at 4 to 6 second deceleration, just concentrating on my hips sliding out, keeping and my knees feel amazing. And now I'm focusing on seeing what kind of gains I'll get this from over the net. And it's been now almost 2 weeks I've been doing this. So now I'll be excited to see when I go back to power and lifting in that manner, is my form even tightened up or did I get stronger? What happened?
Right. So here's the other benefit to that. If you're working out, and especially if you've been working out for a long time, we are motivated by, a lot of us are motivated by seeing progress or something measurable. You know, very few people can go to the gym, see no progress in anything, and still keep going to the gym. It's very difficult to do. All of us, even those of us that love working out, I like to see something, you know, happen. So doing, manipulating particular variables is good because it keeps you, it keeps things fun. Because if I always focus on strength, I'm going to plateau. I can't keep getting stronger forever. It's just not going to happen. So then I back off and I say, okay, now I'm going to see with a lighter weight how many reps I can get with this weight. So now I'm going more, a little bit more endurance. Or I'm going to do a superset and see how I feel with this particular superset. Or I'm going to do the slow motion rep. Or I'm going to pause and hold the weight and do an isometric contraction. And then I do the next 2 or 3 weeks that way. And I see my body progress and I see my performance progress in the gym. And it keeps things exciting. Yeah. That's the other plus side from doing that kind of stuff.
Yeah, it keeps challenging the body in a different way. Which is what you need to do. You need to keep it different. You need to keep stimulating a different firing sequence, so that way, you know, your go-to, it doesn't get exhausted. And it's the same thing with like mechanics. If I'm doing the same movement forever and ever, you end up getting arthritis, and you know, the whole function is going to be lost in mm-hmm. that movement. So
and the amount of variables within an exercise is endless.
Oh yeah,
there's so it many is. variables, you know.
That's why I can honestly say that I for 15 yeah. years I've never duplicated a workout right. before, you know. Like I literally had never done that before, so it's very possible, and it's a lot easier than what people think it is. If you're thinking about that, if you're thinking about that, it doesn't always have to be a different exercise or more weight or more reps. There's other ways. Yeah. That's what I love to do this too, where you manipulate like all the above all at one time to really throw a curveball on the ball. Like, I mean, you talk about keeping everything where you can track it and doing the same thing over. Well, how about one time I come in and I'm going to fuck with my reps, my weight, and my tempo all in one new movement on something that I'm trying to train that day. You know, doing different stuff like that just completely confuse the body, and you can totally continue to see yourself coming into the gym and never duplicating workouts if you have that mentality of changing all that stuff, you know?
Yeah, and use, you know, there's certain opportunities that will present themselves. You know, if you're feeling, like Adam was saying, your knees are bothering you, then use that as an opportunity to switch to something that's not as heavy, but now you're focusing on something else. So rather than, let me give you an example of what I'm talking about. Rather than Adam going to the gym and saying, I got to go light because my knees hurt. Rather than him doing that and going in with that mentality, he's going into the gym saying, I've been going heavy for a while now. Now I'm going to go light and focus on my form. That is a different mentality. You'll achieve the same benefit in the sense that his knees will feel better. But now he's going in with a performance mentality, but in a different direction. And that's more motivating, and it's you're more likely to stick to something that way. Because a lot, the mentality goes into that quite a bit.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, if I go in like, my shoulders hurt. I can't go heavy because my shoulders hurt. I mean, who the fuck wants to work out like that? Yeah. Instead, I go in like, you know what? I'm going to go real light and slow and squeeze the shit out of my chest and I'm working out. I'm not worried about my hurt shoulder, even though that's an issue. Right. It's a different mentality going into the workout.
Oh, if you bring that up, this is something that just happened to me last week. I don't know if I slept on my shoulder wrong or what, but my left shoulder has just been, it's been awful. And no matter how much I warm it up, it still hurts during my workout. And I'm like, fuck, man. And I took like a week off to see if there was something I need to rehab. I got massages, did all this stuff. Can't put my finger on it. Some sort of imbalance going on. And I'm like, you know what? Here's a perfect opportunity because I was just going really heavy for the last couple of weeks on my shoulders. I'm going to work on strict overhead pressing, super light, bring it all the way down, all the way up. Oh my God, my shoulder feels so much better mm-hmm. in my workouts. But it's like now I'm still on that because I'm not focused. It wasn't just about getting my shoulder better. It was also like me changing.
And now you're probably seeing yourself get stronger within this form and range of motion.
Yep.
Yeah, which, by the way, is hilarious. Absolutely fucking hilarious, because the common thing that you'll hear from people if you have a shoulder problem is to limit your range of motion.
Yeah.
Which is stupid.
The worst
you start losing that range of motion.
Many times it's stupid. Isn't that funny?
Yeah.
Like if you have an injury, a lot of times you shouldn't limit most of the time you shouldn't limit range of motion. Sometimes you should, but a lot of times you shouldn't limit the range of motion. What you should do is find a way to train it in a very full range of motion. And sometimes that means you go real, real light with weight, or change your technique
assisted
a little bit
somehow.
You know, this is the biggest issue that I have that at OTF right here is that, you know, we're trained to give somebody a alternative exercise instead.
If they have pain,
yeah,
do this instead.
Which the internal trainer in me just cringes because I'm like, but it's this fast tempo class where I don't have this time
to
talk.
But that's an entertainment workout.
It is. Well,
it's not
and,
a.
And, I try and put that emphasis on it's about the energy, excitement, and it's more about that than the best way to train your body, because there's a situation like that comes about where I see some sort of a deviation or an injury, or a client says, oh, I can't do overhead shoulder presses, it hurts my shoulders. So then I'm supposed to just give you a different exercise and you just start doing that instead. But in my head, I'm going like, no, if I was really training this person and that happened.
If you have any kind of limitation at all, I do not recommend you go into a class.
Well,
of any kind.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you need to reestablish that. You need to work on that yourself, or like get a professional to help you through that, as far as like, you know, strengthening and supporting and, you know, increasing your range of motion. But I just feel like, and this is just my personal opinion, you know, going into a class setting, the hype, the energy, everybody around you, maybe the competitiveness of it, like myself included, you get wrapped into that, and then you just blast yourself just because you want to keep up.
Of course, you find it difficult to, you know, first of all, it's hard for you to like, hey, trainer who's teaching the class,
yeah, right.
My shoulder hurts when I do this. Can you come help me? And he can't, or she can't, because it's a class.
Or you should already know that.
And
you know,
sometimes,
you should already know your own limitations.
Look, guys, we can't forget, like, there's an intimidation factor in classes where you don't want to be the guy or the girl who can't do the thing, and so you're just sitting there while everyone else is doing it and you're not.
Right.
Like, that's tough. That's a level of peer pressure that's pretty strong.
Yeah.
You know, that people find. You know, and we should talk a little bit about that, because I think even when you go into the gym, it happens even in gyms, you're there to work you out.
That's it.
If you're taking a class,
you're focused on you.
If you're taking a class, it's your workout. Don't give a shit about anybody else in that fucking room, aside from the fact that you're cool with them. Hey, great workout. High five. But I'm fucking working me out. So I'm going to give myself the best workout, whatever that means. Mm-hmm. This exercise works the best for me. I'm doing it this way. And if the trainer thinks I'm doing something shitty, then they'll say something. If they don't, then fuck you. It's my workout. And I hate to say that, but that's the attitude you have to have. Oh. When you do that kind of stuff, you'll get better results and less injuries. And when you go in the gym, the same things. I was having this conversation with my client today, because we were talking about, there was another client working out and with her trainer, and she was kind of complaining about, you know, stuff that she was doing, like some clients do. And he was joking. He's like, I could tell you really like working out. We're all laughing. And I told him, I said, look, very few people truly love working out. Most people that really love working out work in fitness.
Oh yeah, right.
You know, it's just the way it is. But like, speaking for myself, I've been in gyms most for 8 to 12 hours a day or longer for most of my life. So for me, walking into a gym is a total different experience than most people. And when I go in, it's all about me. I give a shit about anybody, anything around me. The only time I don't give a shit is when I'm working out with you knuckleheads, and that's because I'm having so much fun talking shit and moving heavy weight. That we do end up doing things. Sometimes I do shit and I go, I probably shouldn't have gone that heavy.
like I said, we're not impervious to that.
Sure. Yeah. But you get what I'm saying, you know, when it comes to that. So I have a question for you, Adam. You were talking about your shoulder hurting and you said you slept on it wrong.
Yeah.
I've been wondering this. How many pillows do you use when you sleep? Because your shoulders are so wide. Your head has got to be like, you're probably sleeping all weird, right? Your head, your ear on your fucking shoulder.
No.
You have like 12 pillows?
I sleep on my back.
And are your hips all twisted and
we're
shit?
We're going to find out, Sal.
Yeah.
No, oh, that's right.
Cause we're gonna be,
I sleep.
He's got that princess mask.
That covers his eyes.
Have you ever slept with one of those before?
Dude, I want to.
They're awesome.
But I just
You know what?
A pillow on my face. But yeah, my wife gives me shit about that all the time.
Yeah,
I'm gonna upgrade your face.
Yeah, I'm gonna upgrade to
I'm gonna put a
mask.
Pillow on your face, Justin. I'm gonna smother you.
You're a bastard.
Face down, ass.
You're a horrible friend.
So you use just two regular pillow, huh?
Yeah, I guess a regular pillow. I don't have any like weird fucking foam thing or whatever. I just whatever pillow I think we bought at Target.
You don't have an inner thigh cock pillow?
I do.
I figure you would.
Well, I do when I'm on my side, but I end up, that's how I lay, and then I end up falling. Like, so I'll lay, because, you know, of course, if I'm not touching my girl, she freaks out. Like, she's like.
Because you have narrow hips, so you have to have something between your legs. Otherwise, your hips hurt when you sleep on your side with wide shoulders.
Yeah.
Biomechanically. Like, Justin doesn't need shit. He's got those nice, full,
supple
side cheeks.
Yeah. I like a pregnant woman. I sleep with a pillow between my legs when I'm on my side. But I actually can't even sleep on my side anymore. I end up have to eventually roll to my back, so I can't get.
Do you guys wear pajamas?
No,
I sleep naked.
It's, Where's this going, dude?
I don't know.
You just took
a
turn.
Well, I'm just trying to picture.
Listen.
You should have been. I sleep naked, bro.
Dude, hey, no,
motherfucker.
This
that's
weekend,
why you're
sleeping
with Justin.
In that one with that you zip all the way up.
The onesie?
Yeah. Right? Can we vote on this?
The onesie?
Onesie, no naked Adam. Thank
no
you.
Naked Adam. We don't want that.
Perfect.
You guys have your own rooms. Yeah.
Huh?
Good. Okay.
I walk around my room naked.
Do you really?
Hell yeah, bro.
Just. Shit hanging out.
Yeah, shit. Well, air dry, bro.
Yeah.
Auction off some video of that.
You know, you were just telling me something I wanted to tell you. I can't remember. What were you just talking about before you switched gears on us? Because
about
I
being in a gym, tempo.
No. Being
not Karen.
No. You were telling you and your client were talking about something I wanted to share.
Oh, just saying that I go into a gym. I've lived in gyms most of my life.
Oh, about people liking to work out. I have a theory on that, right?
All
right? So I have a theory on why I feel like working out for everybody is a job, even for those of us that love it. But I think the reason why people treat it that way or feel that way about it is because for most people, it doesn't pay very well. You don't get paid very well, so they don't have that same passion for it. But the people that even – because I've taken people that absolutely said they hate the gym.
If you're awesome looking, you get paid.
Well, no. When you start seeing the results, when you start getting paid back for your hard work that you put into the gym, you start to have a whole different attitude about it. The people that used to say to me that, oh, I hate the gym or I don't like going to the gym, it's normally because they've been putting all this work in and getting paid very little or nothing as far as results are concerned. And it's the same thing that if we felt the same way we'd feel about work.
Right.
If you go to work and you get paid less than minimum wage, how long do you really want to do that for? And how much do you enjoy that no matter how cool
it
is?
No,
and a hostess Twinkie is immediately satisfying.
Yeah. I made that comment kind of partially as a joke, but it's kind of true in the sense that how many people do you know that truly love working out that don't work in fitness?
No, you're right. That's
not very many.
It's a it's a fact, bro. It's actually very
usually like runners or like cyclists or something. Like that's their form of it. I've noticed, especially like the type A that are like real aggressive in work, but like then they try to aggressively take that mentality elsewhere, you know, outside. But
type A,
it's
everywhere.
Just one thing though.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's rare that you'll get somebody that's like balanced in their workouts as far as like, you know, focusing on
you
the
know
overall.
What? And that's the thing. Like when you go into the gym, it's so easy to get stuck in your routine and your rut and doing the same shit every time. I go, look, we work out in gyms all the time. I could say easily 70 to 80% of the people I see in there, when I see them again, are doing the same exercise again and again and again, the same workout, the same order, the same routine. So part of it's because maybe they don't know any better. But I think also part of it too, people are afraid to try new things because they don't want to suck at something.
Yeah.
And I'm constantly seeking out things I'm not good at.
Oh, yeah.
In the gym. I'm constantly.
That's why I'm here.
Yeah. while you're on the show?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Justin Haidt. Yeah. I remember when he first.
No, I just.
Nervous.
It just didn't come naturally to me just because like I don't like listening to myself to begin with. So. But
yeah,
you know,
you're not like me and Adam.
I love the challenge.
Love listening to ourselves.
Yeah. See, you guys immediately like, oh God, this is the greatest thing ever.
I get to talk.
Like, oh, what am I going to talk about? How am I going to get in here where they keep cutting me off? I got it. I'll just fuck with them. But yeah, you know, that's just it. I want to put myself in situations like that where I know if I keep doing things, I'm going to get better at it. And that's pretty much how I am with business. That's how I am with working out. I know that I am terrible like with pulling and pull-ups and deadlifts. And so that's like all I focus on now,
mm-hmm.
you know? And it's just like, it's one of those things where you just see an immediate weakness and you're like, listen, I just got to address this. So yeah, that's my mentality. It's not a mentality everybody have though.
No. It's very, very uncommon, and that's one of the things I feel like that is most attractive about the group of men in this room is that it's very rare you meet other people like that, much less all of us in the same profession and field and vision as far as where the direction of fitness is going, that are passionate about growing. You know,
that's
so many,
it.
So
you
many
nailed it.
So many people are content with who they are because there's so much shit out there that talks that way. Like, oh, be happy with who you are. Well, I, you know, everybody in this room, they respect themselves and love themselves in that matter, but also have that ability of self-awareness to look at the areas where they need to grow and develop as a person. And not just, we talk a lot about fitness, but it's not just about that. That's what I think has drawn all of us together is that we have this passion for growth internally and externally with the industry and what's going on. So there's not a lot of people that are focused on growing themselves. And
no,
it's a whole other episode we should talk about sometime.
We should, but you know, wanting to grow, I mean, it requires a certain level of personal responsibility.
Yeah, self-awareness and humility.
Because you have to, number one, recognize that you need to grow. It's painful. Growth does not feel good. No, growth never feels fucking good. You got to make yourself uncomfortable to grow. You don't grow in uncomfortable situations.
No.
You know what I'm saying? Like, how much growth would you have if you had all the money in the world? Like, you see all these kids raised by these super rich celebrities, and they're just spoiled shits, and they don't do anything because their parents give them everything. There's no uncomfortable positions for them to grow from. No. So they just become these shitty adults.
It's only comfortable when you're horny. That's when you really grow. You know what I'm saying?
We hadn't had a dick reference, I think, all show.
And right? Justin throws it in.
There it
no,
is.
We kind of did subtle. When you talked about walking around naked in the room. You implied.
You implied.
Did you do the arm swinging thing, like a little like your no, little I elephant trunk? Was that just picturing
yeah,
that?
Yeah, we're just picturing that.
Can I tell you something? I'm going to warn you. This weekend when we go away,
yeah.
If you walk around naked, I'm going to tell you right now, bro, you swing your dick in front of me, I'm going to flick it as hard as I can on my finger, which is going to hurt. So I'm just warning you.
That's probably going to hurt your finger.
It's going to make
you
a
remember
sound.
He can flex it, right?
It's going to make an iron sound.
You
like,
better punch it, bro.
And with that... Don't forget to subscribe
Imagery.
To Mind Pump and leave us a 5-star rating and review.
Thank you for listening to Mind Pump. For more information about this show and to get valuable free resources from Sal, Adam, and Justin, visit us at www.mindpumpradio.com. Until next time, this is Mind Pump.